Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, Kia's EV voice assistant. New York allocates fresh funds to help EVs. And BYD refutes accusations of dumping. Plus, stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you why the ID Buzz could be the perfect vehicle for your final journey. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for the weekend. It's Sunday, 20th of April. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free, and you can be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. We'll start with news of Kia launching its AI assistant, its new voice recognition system powered by generative AI. It's on the EV3 in Europe now. So this new feature allows you to have a natural conversation with your vehicle, just as you would maybe if you use an AI agent or voice assistant. Perhaps you have something, hasn't got to be ChatGPT, but something in your life that you speak to in a more natural way. With cars until now, you've had to know the exact phrases or use the exact words because voice in car hasn't been so good until now. Whereas adding large language models, which are able to understand what you mean by something, means you can have a natural conversation with your vehicle, even enabling open-ended questions about various functions. Kia's new AI assistant on the EV3 can be activated with a steering wheel button or by saying, "Hey, Kia." The AI assistant will receive new features through over-the-air software updates. The rollout in Europe follows successful launches in South Korea and the US. The assistant can help with in-car features. It'll adjust the temperature, find points of interest along your route. It'll play your music and provide maintenance information. Starting last month in March, all EV3 models were coming with the new AI assistant as standard, but it's the older models which get that through an over-the-air update. After launching on the EV3, Kia will expand the AI assistant to its other electric vehicle models and any with its new connected car navigation cockpit system. Let's talk about New York allocating $30 million for EV purchases and charger expansion. Governor Kathy Hochul has announced $30 million for New Yorkers to lease or buy new electric vehicles through the Drive Clean Rebate Program. The program offers point-of-sale rebates on 60 EV models. The Charge Ready New York 2 program has also updated incentives for EV chargers to improve access at multifamily buildings, also at workplaces, and even at places like hotels. This initiative aims to make electric driving more affordable for New Yorkers, increase charger availability, and reduce pollution across the state. The Drive Clean Rebate Program, managed by the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, offers rebates of up to $2,000 off the MSRP of all the EVs that are participating. You do it via the dealership in all 62 counties in New York State. Higher rebates are available for longer range all-electric vehicles. And that's good that program, that scheme, is being refunded there and or funded again in New York. Well, BYD has refuted allegations of dumping on the United Kingdom, which sounds all very interesting, but they do highlight their technological edge. BYD's UK head has denied claims that BYD is dumping its EVs in the UK. He stressed that BYD is simply offering superior technology to customers at good prices. In the first quarter of the year, BYD sold almost 10,000 vehicles in the UK, and that exceeds its total sales for all of last year. The brand's market share rose to 1.6% from 0.23% a year ago. Now, Bono Gur, who is BYD UK's country manager, discussed the company's growth during an interview with Fully Charged Robert Llewellyn at the Everything Electric show. BYD launching 5 models in the UK now, 4 electric cars. They are the Sea Lion 7, the Atto 3, the Dolphin and the Seal, and also that hybrid one, the Seal U DMI. The BYD Atto 2 is coming later this year. Now, BYD's manager noting at the show that hybrids help drivers transition from petrol to diesel to go fully electric, but that BYD will expand its presence by launching electric bus fleets as well, with over 1,200 EV buses coming, making up 75% of London's electric buses. This has helped reduce transport emissions already. Central heating is now the main source of pollution in London, not its transport sector, as many of the EV buses are just really commonplace now. Whenever I'm up in London, I can normally count on, if I come out of Waterloo Station, if I get the train up from the South Coast and jump out of Waterloo, ready to walk across town to wherever I'm going, you can nearly always guarantee the first thing you'll see is going to be either one of the new electric or their kind of plug-in hybrid black cabs or the electric buses. Can normally see a couple of broken down hydrogen buses as well, normally somewhere near Waterloo, maybe Waterloo Bridge. They're normally parked up with the hazards on and the little bit at the back where the engines are on buses sort of lifted up and an engineer poking his head in there to work out what's going. Normally a couple of broken down hydrogen ones most days that I see anyway. I'm not exaggerating, by the way. Critics have accused BYD, and not just them, but other Chinese manufacturers as well, of selling EVs in the UK below their market value. In response, BYD saying over the weekend, and I quote, "We're not dumping here. We're offering better technology. Would we consider Apple to be dumping iPhones here? Because Apple iPhones are incredibly expensive." That would be like saying, "Are Bentley dumping cars in the UK?" That was obviously something that perhaps this person from BYD said on stage at Everything Electric with Robert Llewellyn, trying to make a point, but I don't think that perhaps the words that came out make any sense. Is Apple dumping their phones here? No, Apple iPhones are incredibly expensive for what they are. They're not cheap Chinese smartphone knockoffs, and nor are BYD, by the way. It's just a terrible example for him to give. And so I kind of understand what BYD were, you know, getting at with that, but it was a bad example because Apple's premium and they charge a real premium. BYD are not charging a premium. It's the opposite. Although I must say, not the cheapest. If you have a look at some of the monthly offers on Chinese cars, whether that's the BYDs, the Leap Motors are pretty cheap, but that's Stellantis really, isn't it? But if you look at some of the kind of, even the 7, 8, 9 seaters, I think there's one, what's that brand called? MIFA? The Maxus MIFA, is it? Their monthly offers are £600-700. And so some of the Chinese cars, people say, "Oh, it's old cheap old Chinese rubbish." That's such a nonsense, outdated attitude to have anymore. Some of those Chinese cars not actually that cheap in the UK, but you do get a lot for your money. I do think you get still some stellar deals from perhaps the European manufacturers that have got big dealer networks and can offer good deals at different times. But either way, BYD is growing its presence here in the UK, but denying allegations of selling things cheap here. Consumer shifts are happening, aren't they? And people are increasingly looking at those Chinese brands. Okay, let's talk about something I just mentioned. Bentley. Bentley is made in the UK in Crewe. And at the headquarters in Crewe, engineers are now setting up for the prototype production of Bentley's first pure BEV. It's called the Luxury Urban SUV. That's not what it'll be called, but they're calling it the Luxury Urban SUV. And prototype production starts in just 8 weeks' time now. The production will use advanced materials. It'll use autonomous guided vehicles, AGVs, for transporting all the car bodies around the factories. And they said the project reflects Bentley's vision for the dream factory, which they're building. Traditional craftsmanship alongside cutting-edge modern technology. The electric vehicle line is located in the factory's oldest building. Funnily enough, Building A1. Building A1 at Bentley headquarters was built in 1938, originally for making Merlin engines during World War II. And that'll be brought right up to date. They're currently installing all of the production equipment required to make Bentley's first EV in Building A1. The luxury urban SUV based on Volkswagen Group's PPE architecture, and that's a good place to start, because think Porsche Macan, Audi Q6 e-tron. So all the stuff like air suspension, rear wheel steering, and all the goodness that's going to come to Bentley, but a little bit of extra, handcraftedness, not quite Rolls-Royce levels of customization, but a little bit extra with those Bentleys to justify the premium price. Now, where you park your electric vehicle is kind of interesting because long-time listeners of the podcast may remember that in China, they stopped Tesla vehicles going anywhere near military bases, and that's perfectly sensible because EVs are connected vehicles, and there have been stories over the years, and I don't know how true they are, there's nobody at Tesla for me to ask this, of those teams at Tesla being able to access things like the internal passenger-facing camera. And stories of what they may have seen on the internal passenger-facing camera. I wonder, I have nobody to ask a Tesla, say, you know, do you have comment on this? And of course, Tesla's comment would be, no, we don't spy on you. But still, those stories have gone around over the years. And so those connected vehicles are recording all of the time and uploading that data to anywhere. And so after China banned Teslas from its going anywhere near military bases for fear of spilling secrets, now military sites in the United Kingdom have followed suit, banning all electric vehicles that have any kind of Chinese parts inside, which is probably all electric vehicles, to be fair. But anything that's EV connected with China has now been banned from several military sites in the UK over fears of espionage. One air base in Cambridgeshire, which handles sensitive intelligence work, the so-called Five Eyes network, requires EVs to park at least 2 miles away, it's about over 3 kilometres away, and walk the rest of the distance. The ban follows a report from the Defence Science and Technology Laboratory in the UK, warning that EV components, like batteries and sensors from China, are very easily used to gather sensitive information. They're basically mobile spying platforms dressed up as a car. Defence Minister Lord Vernon Coker addressing these issues in a statement to Parliament last month, saying, and I quote, "Our policies and procedures take account of the potential threats from all types of vehicles, not just those manufactured in China," end quote. So a diplomatic answer there, but I think we can kind of see what's going on, can't we? Concerns grew after reports revealed Chinese tracking systems were found in the former UK Prime Minister's car. Rishi Sunak, our old Conservative Prime Minister, back in 2023, his ministerial car was found to contain tracking data, equipment rather. While the Sunak administration did not deny the report at the time, it did raise alarms about security risks. Despite most EVs having some Chinese components, the UK government plans to have a fleet of 40,000 EVs for government use by the end of 2027. However, the findings of the UK government have led to calls for investigations into how connected these vehicles are and how vulnerable the UK might be. Chinese laws require companies to assist state intelligence because of the top-down way that China is run. If a car company is told, oh, we'll need that data, please, it has to provide it. Even EVs made outside of China, but with Chinese parts, also under scrutiny. This means the ban affects Chinese-made EVs and any EV with a Chinese component. The key issue is linking vehicles to intelligence sites like RAF Wyton, through geolocation data, cameras as well. So staff have to walk a half hour if they want to drive their EV to work, a half hour walk at the end, which may seem extreme, but it does protect operational security by changing typical driving patterns to ensure that anybody that might want to look at location data or the camera data or that recordings, meaning that can't be used for espionage. Concerns over Chinese-made vehicles are not unique. Recently, Senator Alyssa Slotkin from Michigan proposed a law to stop cars made in China from even entering the United States because of national security worries. And hey, look, China did it already to Tesla, and I'm not surprised that other countries are now doing it. It makes perfect sense. I've had people say to me, oh, your Polestar's made in China. Are you worried about being spied upon? You know what? If they want to see what day my recycle bin collection is, and they want to know when I go out and put the bins out on a Thursday night, and that all goes back to Chinese central government, they are more than welcome to that. But my life is too short for me to worry about whether that's happening or not, but I'm glad that somebody in the UK defence sector is thinking about this, because it is a legitimate concern, isn't it? We'll take a break, we'll come back, we'll talk about Vauxhall's EV servicing plan. Do they even need one? There's a question for you, and why your final journey may be in electric in an ID Buzz. Stick around, back in a mo.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, let's talk about National Express West Midlands coaches, adding 170 new all-electric Alexander Dennis Enviro 400 double-decker buses to its electric fleet. There's now 329 of them. That's a quarter of the company's entire bus fleet in the Midlands. Each electric bus will cut carbon emissions by 61 tonnes each bus. The company's upgraded its Yardley Wood depot in Birmingham with new EV charging infrastructure, and the fleet is expanding. They power them all by renewable electricity, and the electric buses take 4 hours to charge, doing 280 kilometres per charge. Also nicer buses for passengers to be in as well. Vauxhall launching a new four-year service plan for its EVs in the UK. That's 199 without VAT because it's a commercial thing for commercial vans, and 299 for diesel models. But do you need to pay £200 for a service plan on an EV? The service plan covers the Combo Electric, Vivaro Electric, and the Movano Electric and their diesel counterparts. The package includes scheduled maintenance for 4 years on the electric vans. But again, I got to ask you, what are they doing for that £200? I got my MG ZS EV serviced before we sold it at the end of last year. And because I think I was late. Oh, well, I definitely was late on a service, and you want to keep the warranty going and you want to have it done. And I forget the total. It was either like 400 or 450 quid. It was like it was more than I've ever paid for an EV service. Maybe it was 350. And again, you just want to say, but MG, what are you doing? Now, we got sent a nice video of a very nice chap walking underneath the car going, oh, here's the underneath of your car. It all looks good. Fantastic. Thanks for that. Here's all of my money. Now, also, it's had some warranty claims, that MG, and they were always fixed promptly and without complaint before we sold it. It had a wiring loom replaced that goes through to the rear lift gate to the boot, and again, no complaints from them, all done under warranty. Fantastic. New owner seems happy, so I guess I've got my money's worth, as it were, but under the warranty stuff. But even then, do you need to service an EV? Do you need to pay extra to service an EV? If you do buy a Vauxhall EV, you can also get free home charging. It's an OMI charger, and with an Octopus Intelligent Go, Intelligent Octopus Go. Then you get your 7p overnight, which is what I'm on. And of course, Vauxhall do pretty good business in the EV van sector here. Now, the Volkswagen ID Buzz sold 1,901 units in the United States in Q1 this year. But most ID Buzzes have been delivered to the US dealerships in single colours, black, white and silver. Most customers are coming in wanting the two-tone retro paint. It's an expensive vehicle, 70 grand, and it's not cheap to get the Buzz, and customers want what they want, and that is the two-tone retro style, but that's not what either dealerships have ordered or what VW could deliver. So to boost sales, Volkswagen of America is encouraging dealers to apply their own two-tone wrap to any monochrome ID Buzz. Dealers can cover the $3,000 cost for the wrap and receive a reimbursement for half of it through Volkswagen. This aims to enhance the visual appeal of the vehicles, also restore the vehicle's retro look and entice buyers. Hein Schaefer, Volkswagen's senior VP of sales in the United States, told Automotive News, and I quote, "The single-tone vehicle doesn't sell as quick as the two-tone car. As soon as the dealers dress them up and wrap them, we see them moving again," end quote. And finally, while your final journey may be in electric, the Volkswagen ID Buzz has now been turned into an electric hearse by a funeral home in El Paso, Texas. The hearse keeps the ID Buzz's original look, black interior, obviously black, with some inserts over the rear side windows. Inside, the rear seats are replaced with the casket platform with a very simple modification process. Currently, there are a few electric hearses in the US. I think Tesla Model S got converted. Somebody put a hearse, typical sort of estate-y glass house on the back of it. Ford, I think, do an electric transit version. Rivian provide a large electric van. That could be that could also be changed, I guess. Would Dad have wanted this recently? Dad loved his EVs. The minute I started an EV podcast, Dad bought one and then got another one. And he totally got into EVs before we lost Dad recently. And he turned up. He didn't want a hearse. He didn't want the glass sides, the flowers, you know, the decorative that say Dad and Granddad and stuff. And that, he had them at the, you know, where he went into the ground. But he didn't want them in that. He didn't want a parade, as it were. He was a very understated gentleman, was Dad. He never wanted a fuss. And his worst idea would have been driving down the road with some sort of, you know, coffin on show. So he turned up in some sort of random transit diesel panel van. And they swung the back doors open and out he came in his little casket. Would he have wanted to go in an ID Buzz? Probably not. I mean, if he had blacked out windows and nobody could see him inside for his final journey, he probably would have wanted that to go electric on his way out. But it's Perch's funeral home in the area, if you're interested. But they're not alone. There's a German coach builder called Kuhlmann Cars, also doing a similar conversion in Germany as well. For those that want their final journey to be on electrons. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.